I remember, I don't know how old I was, but I remember at the church I was growing up in, the pastor asking me to read on Youth Sunday the scripture that he was going to be preaching from, and I remember how terrified I was. I used to be petrified of speaking in front of people. My first sermon, which I don't even know if you can call it a sermon, it was like a sermonette. It was like a 5-minute sermon. And I'm embarrassed to admit, I was like weeping before, and Sarah was like trying to find a paper bag for me to breathe out of. So, I mean, it was, I've come a long way, I'd like to think. Great job, Autumn. That was very good. Let me pray before we dive into God's Word. Lord, we want to hear from you. We want to hear you speak through your word, and so God, would you do that? Would you speak? Lord, we know that it's only your word that transforms hearts. It's not me, it's not anyone else, but it's your spirit through your word penetrating our hearts and really making us new. And so God, would you use me as merely a vessel for you to do the incredible work of regenerating hearts and turning people to you? We pray for that right now. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. What was read just a minute ago was Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. And I'm not going through all 17 verses today. But instead, actually, I'm going to break it up into three parts because verses 1 through 17 is naturally broken up really into three parts, okay? And so we're going to do a part of it this week, part next week, and we're going to finish with verse 17 in 2 weeks from now, okay? But really, it's one whole thought. All 17 verses are one big thought with three major sections, okay? And I want to walk through those sections because today has a lot of bearings on the next 2 weeks, and the next 2 weeks are completely rooted in today. They're all tied together, okay? So if you're a note taker, pay attention. So this is really important. Today we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 4, and I want to break down what these 17 verses look like together, kind of an outline. Verses 1 through 4 we're looking at today speaks directly to how we have new life in Christ, and it leads to a new mindset. I won't jump into the text quite yet. You don't have to turn there. Stay here. But verse 1 is, if then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. So it all is about this new mindset, this new thought process, this new passion for Jesus. If you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. Set your minds on things that are above. That's the first four verses. New life in Christ leads to new mindset, a new passion. And rooted in these four verses, then we go to verses 5 through 11. That's next week. Because we now have a new mindset in Christ, because we have new passions and interests, the first effect in our lifestyle is that we would begin killing sin. When you have a new mindset, when you have a new heart for Jesus, you begin showing that externally with your killing sin. In verse 5, again, you don't have to turn there, but you can see that transition very easily. Verse 5, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. That's rooted in verses 1 through 4. So then verse 5, therefore, kill what's in you, that sin that's in you. That's the first effect in our lifestyle. And then lastly, in 2 weeks from now, we're going to be looking at verses 12 through 17. That's the second effect that's rooted in verses 1 through 4. Because we have a new mindset, because we have a new love for Jesus, there's another effect. Not only will we kill sin, but we will actually replace that sin with holy living. Verse 12, again, there's a natural transition. So he says, if you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. Verses 1 through 4, set your minds on things that are above. Then verse 5, therefore put to death what is earthly in you. Because you have a new heart, put to death certain things. And then you go to verse 12, put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy, beloved, compassionate heart, kindness, holy living is really what he's talking about. So this is the progression of thought that Paul has in verses 1 through 17, and I want to break it up into these three different parts. We have to really give a lot of time, adequate time, to verses 1 through 4 so that the next 2 weeks are rooted in proper understanding of how we grow in holiness. If we just jump straight into Be holy. Quit that sinning, right? How? How would we do that? It's rooted in verses 1 through 4. These weeks really reinforce the teaching that true holiness is an internal to external progression. You know what I mean? Holiness, growing in holiness, is an internal work that leads to external. It's an internal leading to external progression. And that's crucial. Enforcing laws on people with the hope to see an internal change eventually, it doesn't work. It's called legalism. And we talked about it last week, right? Just enforcing law after law. And if they keep messing up, well, then just more laws, hoping for an internal change once, hopefully. It's called legalism. God's way, that's the biblical way, is an internal change of heart that leads to an external obedience. I like this quote from Piper. He says, "New passions lead to new conduct. And if you try to turn it around, you don't have Christianity anymore." It's important. And so as a pastor, I just want to share with you for a second my heart here. Yes, I will speak against getting drunk on the weekends and sleeping around outside of marriage, right? I mean, I want to talk about those things, and I want to push us to living holy lives and killing the sin. We're not going to be shy about that, but what God calls us to do in our living. But I care far more, and I mean this, and I thought about it, how I want to phrase this. I care far more about speaking to your heart, that you would have a new heart in Christ. Because then, if I really believe in what I was just saying, if then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, and then therefore, because you have a new heart, you have a new mind for Jesus, then kill sin. If I really believe that, well, if I speak to your heart, then the actions will change. Right? So I'm going to talk on how we should be holy people, but I care far more about the condition of your heart. Because if your heart is set on Jesus, we can watch the holy living fall in place, right? And this reality is really rooted in, and we're going to jump into the text in here in a second, but this reality, verses 1 through 17, internal to an external progression, is really rooted in, and it comes out of everything that we've been reading in chapter 2 thus far. If you look at chapter 2, you don't have to turn there. But let me recall a few of the weeks that we've been looking at thus far. Verses 11 to 15, in chapter 2, we talked about how we get baptized, how it's good to be baptized, but this is only a symbol of what? God working on the inside of us, right? Making us new internally. And so then in verse 16 in chapter 2, he says, "Therefore, because he makes us new, therefore, let no one pass judgment on you. Therefore, don't let them put legalistic qualifications on you. Following their laws is not what saves you, right? It's the internal change and work of Jesus Christ in you. God does an internal work. Therefore, don't be disqualified because legalists, their laws aren't what saves you. It's an internal work. And now, therefore, chapter 3, verse 1, if you are in fact raised with Christ, if he really has done an incredible work in your life, then seek the things that are above. What I want us to see here is those who are saved by Christ, not by works of the law, but we're saved through Christ, we're still not off the hook for showing change in our lives, right? Because we've been raised with Christ, then we have to show it. New things happen when you have a heart that is for Jesus. Christ's work in our lives is the reason we are changed. So let me read one more time to really set the context for what we're going to be looking at today. Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. The main point that I really want to just take out of these four verses is that living with Christ means being changed by Christ. You can't have a life with Christ and not show it. You think about the people that are so just infectious, right? I mean, when you're just around them, they just rub off on you. And you just can't help but start to mimic the way they talk and the way they act, the way they address, because You're so infatuated with them. You really like being around them, and there's something about them that's contagious, right? So it is with God infinitely more. Living with Christ means being changed by Christ. You cannot be unchanged if God is working in your life. I like the quote from R.C. Sproul. He says, if you think that Jesus only died, I'm sorry, that's really small. If you think that Jesus only died and rose again to provide forgiveness for your sins, then you have much to learn. Jesus has not only delivered his people from the guilt of their sins, but he has also delivered them from the daily power of their sins by putting the Holy Spirit in each of our hearts, not just to save them, but to also to make them more holy. The work of God does not stop when he makes us new in him. It's shown. It's a progression of becoming holy. So yes, next week we will talk about how we are to fight sin and we're to kill sin. But I need us to see that that is all rooted in. Yes, we will talk about killing sexual lusts next week. But I want that to be rooted in this week, how it all starts with a heart set on Jesus and not on that. All right, I think you get the hint. I've been going at it for a while. So if you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. We're not off the hook with holy living just because you're not saved by holy living, right? That first verse, if we just look at it, if then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. If you're in Christ, seek things that are above. It shows that complacency and contentment in sin, happiness with where we're at, is not an option for people who are raised with Christ, right? We're not off the hook. Just because we're not saved by our holy living doesn't mean that we're not called to holy living because we're raised in Christ. I think that's reminiscent of John 14, 15. I don't know if, you don't have to turn there, but maybe you know the verse. If you love me, keep my commandments, right? If you love me, then keep my commandments. You're off the hook. If you've been raised with Christ, then you have to, you're called to seek the things that are above. So, the time that we have left, I want us to consider, what does it mean to seek the things that are above? That is what we're called to do, those of us who are raised in Christ internally. What does it mean to seek? Well, I think if we had a picture in our minds, right, to seek something, to seek out something, it is to pursue it, to walk towards it, to go after it, to chase after it. Think about maybe the Magi, right, who are going after to worship the new Messiah that's just been born. And they're seeking after that. They're seeking the Messiah to worship him. And they're staring at the star in the sky, following that, right? So if we have this picture of what it means to seek out, to pursue, to venture for, like the Magi were, seeking out the Messiah to worship him, we can ask ourselves then, what is our star? Metaphorically, right? What is our star that we have our eyes set on that we're seeking after? What is our star in the sky? What are your eyes set on? What are your actions showing that you're walking towards? What is your heart leading you to? I think it indicates, right, what you're interested in. What you're interested in, what you're passionate about, what you crave, what you want. These are the things you seek after, right? You pursue. Another way of saying it, he says it later. Seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above. It's the exact same saying, just in a different way. What's your mind set on? What's your heart seeking after? Set your minds on something specific, but maybe we should consider first, what is our mind currently set on? What's your mind set on? There's so many different things. Somebody's attention. Is that just taking up all the time in your mind? Is that you're just seeking after people's approval or praise, their affirmation, their acceptance, maybe popularity just in general, success, money, sexual lust? Is that just filling up your mind every single day, and it's what you're seeking after and showing it in the way you live, what's your mind set on? It could be something as simple as sports. It's not too crazy to say that maybe some people have made the Super Bowl and just in general the NFL an idol because their mind is so set on that so much more than anything godly, right? So what is your mind set on? What is your heart seeking after? If you're a Christian, God calls you to seek, to go after, to set your mind on, to have passion for what? Things that are above. Seek the things that are above. Set your minds on things that are above. So, let's consider then what are the things that are above. He doesn't want us just to have directionless passion. Fervor that goes nowhere. I'm just a passionate person. Jesus has set me free and I'm excited about what? I don't know. No. He wants you to be passionate, but pointing that at a certain thing. What is it? Passionate about, seeking after things that are above. I want us to look at two ways that that is described. The things that are above, firstly, is described as where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. These are holy things. These are heavenly things. These are eternal things. Holy and pure things. The things that are above. You're like, I should seek it. I should set my mind on those things. But things is a very vague term, right? What does it mean to seek after things that are above? Well, firstly, they're where Christ is. So that's kind of helping us define what these things are that are above. That's where Christ is. Seated at the right hand of God. These are holy things. These are heavenly things. These are greater than this earth things. I think about Sarah asked me, I don't know how many years ago, we were either just been married or just got married or we were about to be married. And she was like, so what do you want to do when it comes to like vacations? I was like, well, I don't know, let me think. And she had something set on her mind. She goes, I know where, if we could ever go one place, this would be incredible to go in the world. She asked me, and I hadn't really thought about it, so this was an unfair question. She asked me on the spot, and so I just said, I would love to go to a conference, a Christian conference, and they're just preaching all week and teaching lectures on the Bible. That would be incredible. And she's, are you serious? I was thinking about like going to the beach in Greece and like eating Mediterranean food all week long, and now I feel terrible for wanting that. And I'm like, no, I would love that too. That'd be great. But I mean, just thinking about like what I love doing, I would love to just go and sit and listen to preaching all week long and listen to lectures about theology. And I'm not saying that Christians, that has to be your dream vacation in order to be somebody that's following these verses. No, but because I know I'm probably the minority that just loves soaking up lectures, right? But the point that I'm trying to say is that, man, when you are new in Christ and you have a heart that's seeking after Him, that you want to be around things that have to do with Jesus. You want to be around people that are after Jesus. You want to just soak up God's presence and anything that has to do with Him, you're like, I'm in. A heart should beat for things that are of God, craving anything that draws you to Him. That's what we want. The second way that He describes things that are above, it's the opposite, actually, of the first one. He says, seek the things that are above. So let me tell you a little bit about the things that are above. These are where Christ is, things that are seated, where He's seated at the right hand of God. These are holy, heavenly things. And then He says it again in a different way. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. This is the opposite way of describing it. Yes, they are heavenly things, and they are not earthly things. They're not worldly passions. They're heavenly ones. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14. I think I have it. Maybe I don't. Yeah. As obedient children. So that's what we want to be, right? Obedient children. Do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all of your conduct. So that's what we're called to do, to be holy in our conduct. But how? How does He say to be holy in your conduct? It's rooted in not being conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. The passion is what leads to the holy or unholy conduct. He says, be holy, but that's found in where your passions are. And he says, don't have your passions on former ignorance or worldly desires. I think many of us here sitting in this room, we want to kill that habit, right? We want to show Jesus that we love him. We want to show other people that we are sold out for Jesus, but we just can't kill that old habit. I want you to hear this. You need to hear this. Your old habit will never die until your love for it does, okay? Your old habit, whatever it is, and you're just trying to kill it, you will not kill that old habit until your love for it dies. He says, seek the things that are above. Where Christ is, set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. So why are we called to seek things that are above? These new pursuits, these new passions, why do we have to, right? Why can't we just say that we're Christians? Why can't we just say, oh, I love Jesus? And none of those really, that doesn't change where we seek or what we go after. Why are we called to seek things that are above? Well, I think he answers this question. It's because these new pursuits, these new things that are pulling our heart to, that goes with our new identity in Christ. You say, well, why do I have to set my mind on holy things? Why can't I also love and think a lot throughout the day on those things? Why do I have to just set my mind on holy things and godly things? Why can't I just still hold a little bit of those passions, that guilty pleasures? Because those are incompatible with our new identity in Christ. Look at what he says in verses 3 and 4. So he just said, set your mind on things that are above. That's where Christ is, not on things that are of the earth. For this is why. This is why you seek things that are above. This is why now we have new passions that drive our actions. For you've died. You've died. And your life is hidden with Christ and God now. That's why. Because it's incompatible with your new identity in Christ. You have died to that. It's not who you are anymore. And now you are in Christ. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. You have died to the world, and now you are a citizen of heaven. That's why now your heart seeks after things that are above. That is why now your heart does not seek after things that are of the earth, is because it is incompatible with your new identity as a citizen in heaven. So I want to say this. Your heart today, only you really know it, you and God. Your heart today, your loves, that is, your passions, the things that you just are interested in, but so much more than just interested in, you care deeply about, they should reflect, whatever they are, your loves, your interests, your passions, they should reflect that your true home is in heaven and not this world. So does your heart reflect that? It's a question you have to ask. Does your heart reflect where your home is, where you're truly a citizen of? I'll tell you something I did this week. I feel, even though Sarah and I haven't quite moved here, right, because of the building process, but I feel like I'm like even more an honorary member of Bethany, Missouri this week. My dad has been working on the land out there, and I've only been able to come and stand from the street and like yell, yeah, it looks good, you know, because it's really muddy and disgusting out there, and so don't want to ruin my nice shoes. Get any mud on my skinny jeans, so I so I finally did it. I drove to Orchlands and I bought me a pair of mud boots, big, tall rubber ones, right, and then steel-toed work boots. Guys, I think I'm even that much more a citizen of Bethany, and I'm not even living here yet. It's just, it's something that you have to have, right, when you're a citizen here. You know where I'm going with this. Our true home is in heaven. That's where you're a citizen of. If you are walking with Jesus and you love Jesus and he has transformed your heart and he has made you new, hear me, you are not a citizen of this world as much as you are a citizen of heaven. Philippians 3, verse 20. Do we have it? Philippians 3:20. I can flip there in my Bible real quick. Okay. But our citizenship is in heaven. And from it, we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies to be like His glorious body by the power that enables Him even to subject all things to Himself. Do you hear that? We are citizens of heaven. All citizens of heaven should have a heart for the things of God. It's like you have to have boots in Bethany. You have to have a heart for Jesus if you're a citizen of heaven. So what's that look like? How's that work? When we live this life, guys, we are surrounded. Surrounded. We are immersed in. We are drowning within a society that is counter anything that God has a passion for, right? It's pointing our attention to things that have nothing to do with God. It's the society, I mean, we're just surrounded by it, right? Things that are not of God, they're ungodly. We're not just surrounded by it, but it plagues even inside us, right? We can't just point fingers and say, you guys are influencing me. No, we have evil desires right inside our own beings, right? You can't just point the finger outward. We are faced every single day, with temptations, sinful desires and passions, things that will point our attention away from God. So when we live this life, we should be often saying, if we are made new in Christ, we've been raised with Him, so therefore we have to seek things that are above. When we live this life, we should often be saying things like, this is not for me. It used to be for me. This is not compatible with how I want to live my life. And in fact, maybe even saying, that is now appalling to me. I could never. I can't. That is not in my nature anymore. It's not what I want. It's not what I want to have to do anything with. This feels wrong. It might have felt right before, but this feels wrong to me now. I pray we're saying that because we are immersed within a society that points us to things away from God, and even our internal desires sometimes point us away from God. And so I hope we're often saying, if we are called to seek things that are above, we're often saying things like, I can't, this is not in me. I don't want to seek after that thing. I want to have a passion for Jesus. I want to seek after Him. I want to set my mind on Him. That's what it should look like for citizens of heaven, to have a heart for the things of God, a mind set on things that are above. That's what it looks like. And when each of us arrives to heaven one day, it's amazing to think about, we will say, I'm home, and this is what my heart's been longing for. This is exactly what I wanted. This is exactly what my heart has been longing for. The perfect presence of God, surrounded by saints, worshiping Him, and that's all we care about. That is what my heart has been longing for. What does that say about this world, though? It says that it's not our home. Our heart is longing for things that are above. So, last word I want to say to, if you're walking with Jesus today, you're a professed Christian, I want to encourage you one thing, pick up and put on that mantle. God has given you that identity. Have a heart turned towards Him to seek after things and to set your mind on things that are above. I remember whenever I first became a pastor, I was terrified. I felt like, okay, yeah, I had a lot of the theological training. I can talk to people about God fairly well, but I was really scared. Did I have it in me? Definitely didn't feel worthy. Just nervous. So I went to a mentor of mine. He was my youth pastor growing up, Jerome. He said, what do I do? I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I'm cut out for this. And you know what he told me just changed so much for me. He says, well, God has evidently called you to it. It shows. God has called you to it. The church agreed. You're hired as a pastor. He says, now all you have to do is accept that identity. Put on that mantle. Pick it up and put it on. God has called you to do it. Accept that. Pick it up and put it on. The same is true for you. As a Christian, God has called you to the mantle of seeking after and having a heart for His things, holy things, not things of this earth, but a passion that drives your actions focused on Him. So I have one thing for you. Pick up and put on that mantle, that new identity. If you've been raised with Christ, it's time to wear that identity and show it in your life. You're a new person with a home that is not here, a home that's in heaven, that your heart is calling for and longing for. That home is incompatible with, yes, sinful actions, but even more so, the lusts of our heart. So that's what I want to encourage you to do. To anyone else in this room, my desire for you is that you would see the goodness of God. That you would see the majesty of Jesus. Truly, if you'd say, I don't have a relationship with God right now, please, can I just speak directly to you? Just for a minute, can I speak directly to you? If you don't see the goodness of God, you don't see the worth of walking with Him, which I just pray today that something stirs within you and say, man, there's something incredible going on. I can't put my finger on it. I just pray that you would see the goodness and the majesty of God. And that you'd set your mind on Him. You chase after Him with your heart and your passion. Because hear me, He is so much greater. Man, is He so much greater than whatever you have accepted to be the love of your heart. Whatever that is. I don't care what it is. I don't have to know what it is to say. It's lying to you to say that it can offer everything that you need. It can't. Hear me, He is so much greater. Whatever your heart beats for right now is insufficient to give you what you truly want. It leaves a hole in your heart, and you will have that hole in your heart until your heart beats for Jesus. Till your mind is set on things that are above where Christ is. I pray that He would see that today. Man, oh, I would love it if you just saw that today. And if that's you, would you just come talk to me? I would love to pray with you and just start walking through that with you. You guys pray with me? God, we give You praise. We love You so much, Lord, and we want to serve You. We want to give You our life. We want to put to death our sinful actions. We want to put on then, as God's chosen ones, compassionate hearts. God, we want to be holy people and kill the sin in our life, but we know that that starts with, that's rooted in a mind that's set on You, a heart that beats for You. And so, God, would You give that to us? And then would we just accept that identity? Would we embrace it? God, help us to do that. We need Your Spirit empowerment to be able to do any of that. Direct our hearts and direct our minds. And we pray. Amen. Amen. I'll be up here for